Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord. Please read responsively the psalm printed in the worship bulletin. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dream. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. For as long as there have been people in relationship with the divine, with God, there have been challenges that threaten the faithful trusting God's promise. There have always been events, occurrences, disorientations that bring people to ask whether they may have placed their bets wrongly. Certainly in Isaiah, for a people who have been sent into exile, into that Babylonian captivity, this could be a time. In like manner, I suspect we can all come up with contemporary examples of such disorientations, occurrences, events that raise question about God's authority and power to save. We hear it in the lament of some Christians who fear that everything is lost, that this Christian nation is no longer Christian. However, let me say that there is a question just how Christian the founders who wrote the Constitution really were. To be sure, there were Christians among them, yet key players were deists and otherwise had a tenuous relationship with the Christian faith. And yet, the lament persists. We hear these questions of God's power to work freedom arise in conversations about care for creation, the cost of doing things differently, or the cost of not doing anything different. In congregation life, laments about what was and is no more often can betray a fear that God is not powerful and capable of doing a new thing. So today, as the Sundays in Lent conclude, we hear first a reintroduction of the Lord God to the people of Israel, especially those in captivity. And that reintroduction is grounded in the identity and truth of who God has always been. It reminds the people of the foundational stories of identity where God has worked new life through release from Egypt, through the waters of the Red Sea, conquering and leveling, literally, those who opposed God and God's liberative act. Remember these things about the identity and activity of your Lord God. Over and over again, the Scriptures remind us all of who God is, so that our gaze may be averted from all the things that would lead us not to remember God's power. By the way, Isaiah 43, even before what we heard today, has a succession of these introductions, assertions about the identity and activity of God. They have, in that succession, a compounding way about them. Then, after the introduction, come the promise. "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive?" Crushing defeat. A temple left in ruins. Sacred vessels carted off and desecrated. The ruling class, the artisan class, all those with authority have been hauled off to a foreign land. These are the former things that are about to succumb to the truth of a new thing. And so that question, "Do you not perceive it?" is God is doing already a new thing. God is working liberation and new life already. All creation will be clear about the authority of God. even the ostriches for pity's sake. All creation will honor and praise God. For those who are about to be baptized, historically at the great vigil of Easter, for those who are affirming their baptism, remembering the truth of God's work to bring freedom, new life, forgiveness, these are the new things we are called to focus on. Watch for all the ways that God is already working in and through creation, and specifically in this church. To be sure, there will be losses. There will be times that threaten to distract from the core promises and identity of God. Now, long before I went to seminary, my father told me a story. You see, we pastors get to write these reports to the bishop annually, kind of let them know how things are going. But one of the questions that my father remembered at the time was a question about what ministries have you allowed to cease during the last past year? His interpretation was that we are a people of death and resurrection. So if we do not trust enough to let some things die, there can be no resurrection. There can be no new life. Things, ministries, activities that worked at one time may no longer be effective, may no longer serve their initial purpose. Letting go of them can bring grief and loss, particularly for those who have been so committed to making. And yet, according to my father, there are times to let go of those former things so that we can turn our gaze to the new that God is doing in our midst already. So today we hear the call from the Lord God to pay attention, name, look for those new things, the powerful, liberating, life-giving things that are going on all around. Honor the grief and move into the new future God is creating. God has been doing this for a long time and is not about to stop now. And from that, join your voice with all who sing, pray to God.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.